Welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
The Bible says this in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and him with me. Today, I'd like to talk to you about one word, and that word is grace. Grace is the key that opens the door to your heart. Grace is the key that starts what happens happening. See, grace is the voice that calls us to change and then gives us the power to pull it off. Once you've encountered grace, you will never be the same again. And today is the day that grace comes to Hillsong. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, here we go. There's only one thing to do when you're going to talk about grace, so I might as well play it for you. You may have heard the first part of that, amazing grace, but the little tag you may have never heard, it simply said, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior rescued me. That's good, isn't it? He said, I stand at the door and knock. And if grace is the key that opens the door to our heart to be changed, then we need to get a good picture of what this grace is. You see, there are many disappointments in this world. There are many times that people they let us down. We try to figure out, how do we forgive people? How do we let go of something that they said, something that they did? How do you say that? How do you let it go? A lot of people tell us that if we let it go, then it gives them the ability to do it again to us. So how do you get past that hurt? How do you get past that sorrow? How do you get past that shame? I don't know if you know what shame is, but I do. My mom slept with a man for $20 to get food for my brother and my sisters. That's why I was born. So she gave me away, and I grew up in foster care my whole life. I know shame. But the day I heard Jesus knocking at my heart, and the day I let grace open that door, everything changed. And it could change for you. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, here we go. I got to tell you something I say in public schools. Look at me. Every boy in the room, every boy wears a mask. Every boy pretends everything's good when it's bad, happy when it's sad, right when it's wrong. But look at me, my brother. Your mask will fall. You're going to come against something bigger, stronger, faster, and better than you. And you just lie your way through it, or you lay down and die, one or the other. And you wasn't born to die. You were born to live. Now, girls, I say it different to you. Baby, it's simple. There's hurt and pain in this world, and it's coming after you. And Mac and Clinique don't make a makeup to cover that kind of pain, baby. So when it does happen, you got to know something. Grace is there. Jesus is there. But the only way he can come in is if you open that door. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, open the door. Touch your other neighbor and say, open the door. But see, we decide sometimes, we let life dictate us. We choose what we can do to get our way through it. And sometimes it's wrong. Like Robert, everybody say, Robert. Say this, I am Robert. Let me explain who Robert is. See, Robert, he found a way to get his way. He found a way how I could make it happen. He found a way I could do this. I could make it happen. Let me show you what Robert did. He was 6 years old. It was a Tuesday afternoon. Mama was making special dinner for Dad when he came home. But there was one ingredient Mama didn't get. Normally, Mama goes to the grocery store on Thursdays. She knew what was coming because at lunch, Robert ate the rest of his favorite potato chips, or I'm sorry, his crisp. Forgot where I was for a second. So she goes and she's in the car. She turns around, little six-year-old. He says, let's go, Mama, let's go. And she goes, baby, look, it's not Thursday. It's Tuesday. We don't shop on Tuesday. I just got to get one thing. We're only going for one thing. Do you understand? He goes, yes, Mama, yeah. It was her fault. Because Mama could have went down any aisle, but she went down the chip aisle. And little Robert saw his favorite chips. And little Robert went crazy. He's like, chips! And Mama said, look at me, boy, look at me. I told you, Thursday's chips. Tuesday, we're just getting one thing, we're leaving. I want chips now! But she said, no, you need to learn a lesson. No means no. Wait till Thursday, day after tomorrow. So she went to where she was getting her ingredient to make her food. All of a sudden, the most horrific thing you can't even imagine. Let me tell you what it was. She reaches up and grabs the ingredient that she needs. And about that time, floated an article of clothing. And it landed on her hand. It was underwear. And she recognized those underwear and realized it was her son's. She turns around. Robert has nothing on. And he said, I want chips now. Mama's like, ah! She gets him dressed, goes, grabs a bag of chips, and it started. He found his way. He found what he could do. He found, oh, can I break it to a normal level? Some of you have to take a drug to get up in the morning. And you take that drug to make it through the day. And then that drug, when something goes wrong, you're Robert. Some of you, it's your looks. If you look perfect, you can get anybody to do anything for you because you're pretty. You can do that, right? You're Robert. Sorry. Hate to come in church and bust your little bubble. But here, you robber, all right? But the day's coming. The day's coming. You're going to come up against something bigger than you, stronger than you. The day's coming. And it came to Robert. Because Robert, he was cool. At 8 years old, he went to a baseball game with his dad. Said, I want a hot dog. Dad said, no, game's almost over. We're going to eat with mom. He says, hot dog! All of a sudden, his shirt flies off. And the dad gets a hot dog. He's getting his way, getting his way. At 10 years old, it was time to go to the dentist. So he went to the dentist, and he got to the dentist's office. Dentist says, Robert, come on back. Your mom can stay here. I'm just going to clean your teeth today. So he went in the back, and the dentist goes, Robert, jump up in the chair. I'm going to clean your teeth. And Robert said, no. And the dentist said, I ain't got time to play with you, little boy. Get in the chair so I can clean your teeth. He goes, no. And if you don't, I don't care. I ain't doing it. I'll get naked. And the dentist says, do what you got to do. He's naked. He said, now climb your little naked booty up in the chair so I can clean your teeth. Robert didn't know what to do, so he gets in the chair. The dentist cleans his teeth and says, all right, now go on, get out of that chair. I got to clean it. Got somebody else got to sit there now. And the little boy goes, hey, can I have my clothes? He says, you took them off. Go to your mama. Tell him to come and get them from me. Isn't that the way the world does it? The world makes you think something until it's ready to use you. Then all of a sudden you realize I'm Robert. Y'all didn't see it coming, did you? I know. Oh, we ain't there yet. I want to show you what it's like in the Bible. Let me show you what Robert looks like in the Word of God. So if you go to John chapter 8, verse number 3, it's going to get good now. Everybody touch your neighbor and say, here we go. Yeah. Touch your other neighbor and say, here we go. Yeah. Hey, let me tell you something about grace. Grace can because Jesus can. Jesus is on the move. He's aggressively pushing you from graceless to grace-shaped living. Grace is everything, Jesus. Grace lives because Jesus lived. Grace works because Jesus works. Grace matters because Jesus matters. To be saved by grace is to be saved by Jesus. Somebody say amen. Grace is not an app to be acquired on your cell phone. Grace is an adventure for you to live every day. And let me show you what it looks like. So you go to John chapter 8. We're going to start reading verse number 3. Let me set you up, though, because this is one of them. I remember I was 10 years old. I heard this Bible story, and it just absolutely shook my world. So check this out. Before we start reading in verse 3, Jesus was a guest speaker. Like, Jesus was a Hillsong, and the pastor introduced him. Jesus comes out. He even probably got the scrolls out, started reading the Bible and all that. All of a sudden, it happened. While Jesus is doing his opening comments, the doors open to the church. And these people come in, and they're dragging a woman. The woman has hardly any clothes on, and they throw her on the stage. You do not want to be late that day, all right? They threw her on the stage, and this is when they start talking to Jesus. Everybody got me? Say, yeah. I can tell. Everybody's listening. They're like, half-naked woman on the stage? Wow, what a sermon. Here we go. Watch this. Some of you are like, how do you know she was naked? We're going to get there, all right? Watch this. Teacher. They yelled to Jesus, this woman was caught red-handed in the act of adultery. Moses' law says, to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something incriminating so that they could bring charges against Jesus. Jesus bent down. Everybody say, bent down. And he wrote with his finger in the dirt. The King James says this, Jesus stooped. I love that word. Everybody say, Jesus stooped. We're going to get back there. Y'all not helping me, but say it again. Say, Jesus stooped. They kept badgering him over and over. He straightened up and he said, the sinless one among you, go first, throw the stone. Bending down again, stooping down again, he wrote with his finger in the dirt. Hearing that, they walked away. One after another, beginning with the oldest, the woman was left alone. Jesus stood up, spoke to her, woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you? No one, Master. Neither do I, Jesus said. Go on your way. And from now on, don't sin. Now let's go back. When I was 10 years old, I heard my pastor preach this sermon. And he said that word. He said the woman was caught in the act of adultery. So I looked over at my dad and said, psst, hey, what's adultery? And my dad went, ask him. I found out something. Now, the best way for me to put this is, in order to participate in this adultery thing, the least amount of clothing is what you must have. That good? So if she was caught red-handed. She didn't have much clothes on. Now, hold on. I don't think y'all get what I'm trying to go with here. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible says this. Some of y'all looking at me like, you did? I didn't do this. The Bible did this. Now, check this out. Let me paint a picture. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, paint that picture. Here's the picture. There's a woman sleeping in the morning. The sun's starting to rise, and she is absolutely has no idea what's about to happen to her. She has no idea what's coming to her. Before she could feel the warmth of the morning sun, the woman feels the heat of the wrath of men. People came in where she was sleeping, grabbed her with as little as she had on, started screaming, shame on you, pathetic, you're disgusting, drugged through the street, half-dressed. She... with all she was a part of the parade, then she realized she was the parade. The circus was in town and she's in the center ring. They drug her and drug her and drug her. She could feel doors opening. She could feel the people. It was warm now, not as cold, and she's inside. And then all of a sudden, she probably looked down and saw something familiar. And then she hits her. I'm in church. I'm in the house of God. Now she's probably glad she has long hair, hoping no one can see her because she was caught in the act of adultery, which means she couldn't cover up. Has anyone ever felt shame? Has anyone ever felt you did not belong? That's why this story is here. He came to set the captive free. No matter what you're captive in, no matter what's holding you bondage, all you got to do is open the door to your heart and let Jesus in. And his grace is more than enough for what you're going through. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, his grace is more than enough. I don't know. See, I know I'm speaking like I belong here. And I'm going to tell you, I feel at home. I'm at home when I come to Hillsong. So I'm preaching like I am at home. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now. God laid this on my heart, and I'm just going to give it to you like the ABCs. Because ABCs set the captive free. You know what I'm saying? And Cs get degrees, so they're part of that as well. But you got to understand something. Today, God has a plan for your life. He brought you to this 3:30 service today to hear this sermon, not because of a man who's on the stage, but because of a Jesus who was on the cross, and the same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in this room. And if you open the door to your heart, he can set you free. Somebody clap your hands if you've been set free today. Y'all not going with me. I don't need you to. Just sit back and watch it happen, because God's doing something in this church today, and it's got nothing to do with me. He can set you free, set you free. Here she is, half dressed, thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? All of a sudden, she starts realizing they're going to kill you. You're going to be stoned to death. And in the middle of the hate, in the middle of the anger, in the middle of the yelling, in the middle of the heat, she heard a voice. Go ahead. If you don't have no sin, throw the stone. Now, I got to show you something before we go on. I got to show you something, because there's something in here that I think a lot of people, they don't get it. But I love this. The Bible says that Jesus bent down. In another version of the Bible, we already quoted it, it says Jesus stooped. Everybody say Jesus stooped. He didn't do it once. He did it twice just to make sure. See, we expect Jesus to stand up. We expect Jesus to step forward. We expect Jesus to even levitate over our hurt and our pain and our sorrow. But don't you understand? Before Jesus rises up, before Jesus steps forward, he always has a way of stooping low, of getting underneath everything. You see, you got to understand, if you were late to church that day and walked in, looked up front, said, who are all those people? Bro, you missed it. You should have parked your camel early, bro. This is off the chain right here. Jesus started speaking. He started reading the scripture. All of a sudden, people came in, and there's a half-naked woman up in there, all right? And they all said, kill her, kill her, kill her. And they got rocks. They were going to stone her. Then Jesus said, if you ain't got no sin, throw the first stone. All of a sudden, the stone started hitting the ground. And nobody hit the woman. And everybody walked away, and there's Jesus and the girl. Hey, you know what's really crazy? Think about it. Read it again. It doesn't even say that the congregation stayed. It said it was just Jesus and her. You know Jesus loves you so much that he'll protect you even when you're wrong. He'll cause the whole crowd to disappear to save your dignity, because he created you. He created you. He made you. He loves you. And he didn't just let the wrong people go. He let everybody go. Oh, that was just God. Wait, I didn't even. I'm gonna buy the tape. That was good right there. That was good. Hey, you know why? Because you know why you're depressed, sir? You know why you have anxiety, ma'am? You're holding on to something that you should have let go of a long time ago. Let Jesus be Lord. Hey, go ahead, take the medication the doctor gave you, because Jesus' hand is in that too. But take a dose of the Holy Spirit as well, all right? Let him give you confidence to face Monday. Let him give you courage to face Tuesday. Let him give you strength to face Wednesday. Let him give you that overcoming power to get through Thursday and Friday. And let the resurrection power of Jesus get you to Sunday. And then fill up on some more Jesus medicine so you can go through the next week. And then all of a sudden, instead of you just filling up, you're going to fill up the handout. All of a sudden, people who used to look at you go, you used to be so sad. What happened to you? Hey, come to the Dominion Theater with me next week. I'll show you what happened to me. It's awesome. You got to say, he'll take you from glory to glory. But you know what you got to do? Open the door. But Jesus stoop. Jesus stoop. It ain't the first time. Dude, I love it. You would have to, if you walked in looking for Jesus, you have to look underneath the priests who were throwing accusations. You have to look underneath the people who were ready to kill people. You had to look underneath a half-naked woman and find Jesus. Why? That's why he wasn't born in a palace, but he was born in a manger. That's why he wasn't no room in the inn. There couldn't be a room in the inn for him, because if there was room in the inn, Jesus couldn't reach a brother like me. But because he was born where he was born, he could stoop. He stooped when he bent down to pick up the cross, the carrot of Golgotha. He stooped when he reached down to pick up children who had no one to pick them up. He stooped when he reached down to wash the feet of normal man. He stooped when he picked Peter up out of the water when he was drowning. And if he stooped then, he'll stoop today and he'll poop you up. He'll pick you up. Somebody hit your neighbor and say, that's black American preaching right there. Look at your other neighbor and say, he'll pick you up. Come on, y'all with me today? Are y'all with me? Say amen. If you with me, say amen. I ain't got much time left. Y'all don't understand. Jesus stooped. I love that. Jesus stooped. And he stooped for me. Colossians 1:27. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did y'all hear what it said? See, when you open the door and let Jesus into your heart, he dwells inside of you. Okay, look, there are many other religions. There are many other things you can go to that you can believe in. But I'm going to tell you, this is the only one that the founder of this religion says, I will come in and work a miracle in you from the inside out. I will dwell within my follower. Muhammad does not dwell within the Muslim. Buddha does not dwell within a Hindu. Lady Gaga doesn't reside on the inside of her biggest fans. For the love of God, thank you very much. Here's what they do. They influence their people. They entice their people. They instruct their people. But Occupy? No, only Jesus is able to do that. He could come in and change. Some of you are like, I can't change. I can't do it. I can't make it. I can't belong here. I can't. You know what? You're absolutely right. But when you open the door of your heart and you let Jesus in, you start seeing in a different vision. You start speaking in a different tongue. You start hearing things the way you never heard them before. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 and 10 says that if we confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. It doesn't say some of you, it says all of you, all of you. I love the message. It's another version of the Bible. It says it like this. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God. Jesus is my master, embracing body and soul. God's work is doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to take care of you. That is salvation. Come on, y'all. Am I by myself in this? With your whole being, you embrace God setting things right. And then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. That's who we are. And that's what we believe for you. No matter who you are. I got to go. But I was thinking about this. The Bible says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door and lets me in, I will come in. I realized something. There is only one place where the door locks from the inside. It's the bathroom. You go up in that stall, you pull that little lever over. You're taking care of business up in here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And why, if you are there taking care of your business and somebody come knocking up on your door? Who knocking on my door? This is not the door to be knocking on. I'm trying to handle my business up in here. And it's Jesus. And he doesn't only say he's knocking. He said, if you hear my voice. So Jesus is like, hey, man. What you doing up in here? It's Jesus. Open the door. And I would be yelling, oh, no, there's no Febreze. There's nothing. We got to get something. I got to clean up the junk up in here. Hey, no. Y'all don't get it. He's knocking to take care of the stink. You thought I was just joking. No. Hey. Some of you have walked in a bathroom after somebody had just left and went, for the love of God, what happened in here? But I'm here to tell you right now, some of you are looking at your own past, your own 24 hours, and you're like, for the love of God, what have I done in my life? And today, Jesus is like, I got you. I could do it. I could take care of you. Just open the door. Just let me in. It's going to be all right. I know it smells. I know your shame. I know your pain. I'll cover you up. I'll get rid of the audience just for you. I still try to figure out why he saved me. And I'm on the stage. It's crazy, isn't it? But I figured out this works. The song I played, Amazing Grace, I played it at 3 funerals since I left here in July. One, it's a funeral of a pastor who took his own life. One is a dear friend, diagnosed with cancer in July and died in August. I watched when that woman passed away. I was home, so I went to the hospital 20 minutes after she died. They said 6th floor. I was with other pastors. We made our plan. We knew who would be in the room. We knew she had 3 kids. The youngest was 13. We knew her mom was there in her 80s. A year to the day had buried her other daughter from cancer. A year to the day. So we decided, you go to her, you go to her, you go to him. So we walk in, push open the door. There was a song playing on a little recorder. It's a Hillsong song called So Will I. The 13-year-old boy had his hand raised, other hand holding his mom's hand. She was cold. And he was singing that song as loud as he could. As rocks cry out, so will I. So will I, so will I. Then he started praying. See, 2 days earlier, his mom woke up from a coma. They said she wasn't going to wake up. So he literally holding her hand and going, thank you, God, for waking my mom up 2 days ago. I've asked you for just one more day, and you gave me 2. I appreciate it. Now, after she's done hugging you and crying, can you tell her I'm going to be all right? Tell her that I got you and everything's going to be fine, that I miss her and I love her, but I got something I got to do for Jesus. And then I'll come home. I put my arm around him, and I said, good job, Blake. He says, Pastor, why are you crying? I said, you just touched me with your prayer. He said, why are you crying? It shouldn't shock you. It's what you preach all the time. 13-year-old boy, living out the truth. Open the door. Just let me in. You don't have to hurt anymore. You don't have to hurt anymore.
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.